This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Purpose of Life Productions presents Khalid Yassin.
أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على
إن الحمد لله حمدا كثيرا طيبا مباركا فيه الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه ومن ولا وبعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أيها الإخوة الكرام وأخوات السيدات السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتابه العزيز:
ادع إلى سبيل ربك بالحكمة والموعظة الحسنة وجادلهم بالتي هي أحسن.
من سبيل ربك؟ الإسلام. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered you and me to call to the way of our Lord. What is the way of our Lord? It is Islam. In what way did he say call? Bil hikmah. What is hikmah? Someone is saying that it means wisdom. But what is the word wisdom? It means intellect. It means strategy. It means good behavior. It means powerful example. It means with attraction. It means with clear thinking. It means with enthusiasm. بالحكمة والموعظة حسنة. What is this موعظة? This is wa'ad. Wa'ad, calling. But the wa'ad here, it is not the calling with the voice. This is not the wa'ad of the shouting. It is not the wa'ad of the tongue. It is not the wa'ad of the writing. It is not this kind of wa'ad. It is the wa'ad of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his sunnah. And what is the wa'ad of the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? The most powerful wa'ad. He says, "Verily I have been sent into this world to perfect good manners." The most powerful wa'ad of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the good manners. It is the behavior, how he ate, how he slept, how he walked, how he spoke, how he dealt with the people, how he was with his neighbor, how he was with the co-workers, how he was in the street, how he did the business, how he was with those people he sat with, how he gave the judgment, how he acted upon what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made judgment. This is the manner of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the most powerful part of the sunnah. This is the wa'ad. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. And contend, argue. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Argue with them. Who is them? Those who are around you. مَنْ حَوْلِكَ. Your neighbor, your co-worker, your colleague. Argue here doesn't mean start an argument. Argue here does not mean challenge them. Argue here does not mean debate them. Wallahi Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never undertook the position to debate with Christians and Jews while he was receiving wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This was not his manner. He had the most powerful arguments, but Allah did not send him as a man debating with the human beings. And people came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, not with respect. Some they came to him with very bad manners, making demands upon him, cursing him, throwing stuff in his face, on top of him. Wallahi, he never responded with them with any bad word. So he was not arguing in defense of himself, nor was he arguing in defense of Islam. For he knew that he had a greater defender. And he knew that a deen of Islam is deen Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we don't have to argue on behalf of that which is. Allah is the author of it. So this jadil here does not mean the kind of argument that we have on our jobs with our neighbor about the small issues, or the argument we have with those who we don't agree about their aqidah, or the argument we have with those we don't agree about their fiqh or their understanding, or someone who did something wrong to us. No, this is not the kind of argument. وَجَادِلْهُمْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنُ. Here is, and present to them an argument through your behavior. Present for them an argument through your virtue, through your values, through your principles, through your example. حُجَّة, burhan in Islam, proof, evidence in Islam. It is not necessarily the proof and the evidence of that which is written. The greatest proof for a man's character is his behavior. And what he says, For the Prophet ﷺ said, if human beings were to be given what they say, what they claim, they would take the lives and the property of everyone. But the onus of proof is upon those who make the claim. It's upon those who they argue or they make the claim against to say, it's a lie. I deny it. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he set the example for us about da'wah. How the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he arrived in Medina, Munawwara, by the invitation, not of himself. He never said, I want to go there. Send somebody there and say, I want to come there. Never. No, when the wahi came to him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he moved. And when he moved, he was invited, he was received, he was respected, and he was given the position to be the arbitrator of the people of Medina, even though they did not accept him as a prophet and a messenger. SubhanAllah. How it is that a man is received, a man is invited, a man is accepted, a man is appointed to be an arbiter among the Jews and the Christians and the pagans and those who do not accept him as a prophet and a messenger, but they have accepted already that he is whom? He is an Amin. He is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is Sadiq al-Masdur, the most truthful of anyone who ever spoke the truth. This was accepted by everyone before he came. And he fulfilled this, even during the opposition. How the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even he did this, even in his example in making the hijrah, how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam performed, how he was Sadiq al-Masdur. Did you know? Did we understand that when the Prophet ﷺ left Ali ibn Abi Talib in his house, on his bed, he said, do not leave until they come. Why he told Ali radiallahu anhu, don't leave until they come? Because he wanted Ali to be beat on his behalf? No. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was entrusted with the wealth of many of the Quraysh. And even while they was opposing him, even while they were killing, maiming, stealing, harming others who was with him, they never came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said to him, give me back my wealth which you have been entrusted with. Never. SubhanAllah. 13 years of opposition, 13 years of boycotting, 13 years slaughter, maiming, imprisonment, denial, stealing, everything from the Muslims. But they never came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, oh Muhammad, give me back the wealth which I gave to you to entrust it with you. For if he was a liar, or if he was a thief, or if he was a man of bad manners, the first thing they would have said is, give me back my wealth. You would have said it, I would have said it, anyone would have said it, but not to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He left Ali radiallahu anhu there because he said, I do not want them to make the claim that I am one who is not to be trusted, one who has undermined his trust. So, O Ali, you stay here in my bed, because under my bed there is the wealth which has been entrusted to me. So when they come, give them back the wealth and let them know that this is my trust back to them. How Rasulullah saw us in his conduct. But we Muslims, today, we want to read some ayat. We want to give some hadith. We want to argue with someone. We want to debate with someone. We want to say what is our right. We want to say what is our position. And if someone harms us or curses us, we want to do something. We want to reprisal. We want revenge. We want to destroy. We want to curse. And that's why Allah does not give us success in our da'wah. Our da'wah is a da'wah of behavior. O Muslims, if we do not change our behavior, you can give away all the pamphlets and all the books. You can talk everything, the lectures. You can have television, cinema, you can do whatever you like, and the da'wah will move nowhere. Because this da'wah is a da'wah which goes from tongue to the ear, and from the ear to the heart. It is a da'wah of behavior, it is a da'wah of akhlaq, it is a da'wah of adab, a da'wah of manners, a da'wah of behavior, a da'wah of principle, a da'wah of values. For Muslims, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to give da'wah because da'wah is the source of Islamic revival. If we want to revive Islam, we have to revive our manners. We have to revive our behavior. We have to dig deep down inside ourselves and dig down inside the ground, and we have to find the sunnah which the people have buried and bring it on top of the ground. We have to bring the meaning of the Quran
which should go deep down inside of the heart and deep inside the recess of the mind. We have to dig for it and bring it up so it is present for anyone to see. Otherwise, we are just Muslims, but we are not the ones to carry this dawah. Or Muslims, Islamic revival and Islamic dawah, it's all which is necessary to bring dignity back to this ummah. Islamic revival and Islamic dawah will bring dignity back to this ummah. And who carries this responsibility? Let us speak about it a moment. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Kullukum ra'in," all of you is a custodian. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask every one of you about that which is under our responsibility. So the Amir, or the Sultan, or the Imam, they are the custodian of the people, you and me. They, the leaders, those who have been appointed, those who have been elected, those who have been selected, or those who call themselves by leadership titles, they will be in front of Allah, Mas'ul. Allah will ask them about that which is under their custody. And the husband, he will be asked about his family and that which is under his custody, his children, his wives, his family. And the woman, she's going to be asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about that which is entrusted to her care, her family, the rights and property of her husband, the honor, and her own self and her own responsibility. And all of you, all of us, will be asked in front of Allah about this responsibility. Islamic revival requires two things: responsibility and accountability. And they're two different things. They do connect, but they find themselves in a deposit of two different people. One, the leaders of the Muslims, they are the most responsible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they have accepted the trust. Don't blame the followers. You accept the trust. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned to us in the Quran about the mountains. You see, the mountains and the trees, they was asked about the trust, but they said, no, we don't want it. But the human being, you see, the human being, he has this ambition. The human being, he has this feeling. The human being, he has this incentive. The human being, he has this motivation. The human being, he has inside of him this nafs, which he desires, he thinks, he feels, he can handle it. So, those of you who are leaders, you will have to handle it because you have accepted the trust. And Allah is going to ask you about the trust which you have accepted. The trust in the blood of the people, the money of the people, the honor of the people, the guidance of the people, whether there is 5 of them, or 500 of them, or 5,000 of them on the day of judgment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hold the leaders responsible first. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will drag the leaders on their faces and they will be in chains. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not free them until he asks them about that responsibility. So we should think about ourselves as leaders. Do we want this responsibility? Maybe we should go home, take a bath, make tawbah, and give it up. Pass it on to someone else. Or what we should do as leaders, we should call the other leaders together and ask them, brother, you are a leader, you are also a leader, and you are also a leader, and you are also a leader. I want all of you to come together in my house or someplace so that I can give you the responsibility I'm carrying. Or at least the 25 or 35 or 40 of us who are leading people in different places, we can determine who is the best to accept the major responsibility and see who will become hiding that day. See who will want it that day. See who will prop himself up that day. See who will appoint himself on that day. We don't mean the day when the people will ask him, the day when Allah will ask him. No, on that day everybody will be hiding. The leaders are responsible, and the followers are accountable. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, we took bay'ah with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and part of the bay'ah was to hear and to obey whoever was in charge and what we liked and what we disliked. Accountability. What we liked and what we disliked. This means the followers of the Muslims, don't blame the leaders, don't point at the leaders and say the leaders are corrupt. Don't say the leaders are lazy. Don't say the leaders are selfish. Don't say the leaders are this and that. No, point to yourself and ask yourself what accountability you have made. Were you present at the Fajr prayer yesterday? when the imam was leading the prayer here? Were you present and accountable when they were called the public meeting to say there was an issue of urgency? Were you present and accountable when that person was nominated, when that person was elected, when that person accepted? Were you there to say, I will give you the support? As the companions of the Prophet told Umar ibn Khattab, he told them, oh people, wallahi, you have elected me for this responsibility, but I am not the best one among you. So I need your help. So if I order you that which is right, you obey me. And if I order you something other than that and I go asleep, you wake me up. One of the companions of the Prophet said, he stood up. I believe it was Bilal ibn Rabah, radiallahu anhu. And he said, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, wallahi, if you order us what is right, we're going to obey you completely. But if you go to sleep and order us something other than that, I wake you up on the edge of the sword. This is accountability. They loved each other. They respected each other. But in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when it comes to responsibility and accountability, no, they made no compromises with each other. O Muslims, the leaders must place their responsibility before their personal ambitions, before their personal concerns. They will be brought before Allah on the day of judgment in chains. Their condition will be decided based upon how they fulfilled their trust and responsibility. The followers have been commanded to hear and obey in what they like and what they dislike. And this is a demonstration of their accountability and their loyalty. Our present condition is one where the position and membership has replaced responsibility and accountability. We are more concerned about position and membership. The leaders, they always want to remind everybody about their position. And the followers, they want to remind each other about what group they are a member of.
كل حزب بما لديهم فرحون.
Every group is saying, we are the best group. We are the right group. We are the ones to do this, and we are the ones to do that, because our leader is so and so, and such and such.
O Muslims, position and membership can never replace responsibility and accountability.
Islam can never be established. Islam can never be revived among the people who cherish positions and titles. And Islam can never be revived or established by those who promote membership to groups. If anyone calls you to a group,
that is the group you should not join, because we already belong to a group. It is the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the ummah of the Quran and the Sunnah. That is the firq al-najiyah. That is the saved group. Those who are holding on to the Quran and the Sunnah, wherever they are in the earth, the black and the white, the male and the female, the tall and the short, the Arab and the non-Arab, whomsoever they are, holding on to the Quran and the Sunnah and loving Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and obeying Allah and obeying His Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and performing the Fajr prayer and the Isha prayer and performing the Arkan al-Islam and Iman. This is the group. So whatever group you want to be invited to, this is our group. We are the Muslimin. We are the Mu'mineen. We are the Qanitin. We are the Shahideen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already gave us the best names. Allah has appointed us and He has offered us a bigger name. Ahl al-Jannah. The people of paradise. Ahl al-Quran and Ahl al-Sunnah. Whatever group you want to belong to. Because of your imams. Because of your leaders. Because of your scholars. Because of where you studied and from where you came from. And because you can say Dhalim and the others say Zalim. And this one from the west, and this one from the east, and this one has big beard, and this one has such and such. No, this means nothing. This is our problem. We are calling to ourselves, we are calling to our groups, and we are calling to our leaders, but we are not calling to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. O Muslims, secondly, we have misunderstood the meaning and application of da'wah. This is our problem. We have misunderstood. We think da'wah is something which it is not. We think that da'wah is preaching. We think da'wah is distributing pamphlets. We think that da'wah is challenging non-Muslims. Then we are doing nothing more than the evangelists are doing. This is not da'wah. This is not the manhaj of the Prophet ﷺ. If that was the case, Islam would never be established, because they had no paper and nothing upon which to give out any pamphlets.
They were not standing on any boxes or any stones in Mecca, calling the people, shouting at the people, arguing with the Christians and Jews and telling them, who's right in this? And Allah said this, and you people is going to the hellfire. No, they didn't do that. They were not just busy walking from house to house, knocking on the doors and preaching to the people. No, they didn't do that. Look what the Prophet said when he got to Medina Munawwar. What the first words he told them? He told them, تُطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ وَتَقْرَأُ السَّلَامُ مَنْ أَرَفْتَ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفُ. SubhanAllah. Why the Prophet said something like that? Because this is da'wah. He said, تُطْعِمُ الطَّعَامُ. Call the people to eat. Invite them to eat. This means also invite them to eat and also answer their invitation. وَتَقْرَأُ السَّلَامُ. And give the good greeting and respond to the good greeting. مَنْ أَرَفْتَ whom you know, وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفْ and whom you do not know. This is the da'wah, it's behavior. Certainly the Prophet ﷺ had received enough Qur'an in Mecca. Certainly he had enough wahi to instruct the people when he got to Medina. Why he didn't break them up into teams and tell them, go knock on the doors, give them this, recite the Qur'an, go and this, and argue with them, and stand over here, stand over there. Tell the Jews what they did, and tell the Christians what they said, and those pagans over there what they said. No. First he said, establish the manners. Because the wisdom says, if they will eat with you, and you will eat with them, if they will greet you, and you will return the good greeting, this is the establishment of manners. And when there is manners, there is respect. When there is respect, there is dialogue. When there is dialogue, then there is a possibility to transfer my values to you, and you to transfer yours to me. O Muslims, we think that we have fulfilled the da'wah, because we have some boxes of books up here, or down there, or in the closet, or around the corner. Where are the books? I tell you where the books are. The majority of the books which came from the Gulf, from Abu Dhabi, you see, or from Kuwait, or came from Bahrain, or Saudi Arabia, or some other places, or Egypt, or Pakistan. The majority of those books, I tell you where those books are at. They're inside the basement of this mosque, and inside the basement of another mosque, and the basement of other places, and also scattered around your houses. They never reach the people whom they are meant for. You know why? Because pamphlets and booklets, they don't talk and they don't walk. The people who are supposed to carry them themselves do not have the feeling for it. They don't have the commitment to it. So the best thing you can do with those booklets is take them and burn them. Otherwise, on the day of judgment, those booklets are going to talk against you and me. If I knew they want to talk against me, I'd burn them right now. But no, they were not meant to be burned. They were meant to be taken and distributed to the people along with the manners. O Muslims, we think that we have given the da'wah. No, we are mistaken and we are deluded. We think that we have performed da'wah because we have held a conference. We think we have given da'wah because we have printed a magazine. We think we have given da'wah because we have produced a television program. We think this way because our thinking is we are the wrong people with the wrong thinking. We have got the right name, but we're the wrong people, just the wrong thinking. This is the thinking of the Christian evangelist. Our da'wah is the acquisition of sound knowledge. That's our da'wah begins with every human being, every boy and girl, every man and woman, every adult and sane and responsible Muslim must have sound knowledge about Allah. This is the aqidah, the tawheed, sound knowledge about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sunnah with authentic ahadith, sound knowledge about Islam with evidence and proof from the fiqh, from the ahkam. That's where our da'wah begins. After that, the application of it. Aminu bih. The application of it, wa da'watu ilayh, and the spreading of it through a clear manhaj, clear methodology. Our da'wah is manifested through our behavior, which is a perfume. If you want to know the real Muslim, you want to know the real Muslimat, you will know them from the perfume of their character. If they smell bad in the character, they are not the real ones. Because the perfume of the character, it reaches us long before the words, and it stays with us long after the person leaves. The smell of the character. O Muslims, it is the perfume of our character. The perfume and the picture that we give to our neighbors, the perfume and the picture that we give to our co-workers and our colleagues, They are the ones that can judge
what kind of Muslims that we are. Not you and me say what kind of Muslims that we are. Our da'wah is made effective by offering to the society and the world solutions. We Muslims have got to be the ones that look at the condition of the world and we enjoin what is right and we forbid what is wrong.
كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله.
You people, Allah says, you have been evolved for the whole of mankind as an example. Doing what? Enjoying what is right, forbidding what is wrong. That means making sure that what is done is supposed to be done right, making sure what is done wrong is you stop it from being done wrong. What has happened to us Muslims? We're living in this country, we're living in Great Britain, we're living in America, we're living in Australia, we're living in the West, and we are enjoying ourselves and the fawahish and the wrongdoing that they are involved in, the haram they are doing, the fawahish they are doing, the filth that they are doing, they're doing right in your faces and we say nothing. O Muslims, our da'wah is made effective by offering to society and the world solutions and answers which they can clearly see and relate to. When we are unable to convince the society of the goodness of Islam and the benefits that they will receive, how do we expect people to accept and embrace something that they cannot see any evidence that leads to their benefit? Muslims, think about it. Why should somebody accept a religion that seems to be a religion of people that are tyrants? A religion of people that are disorganized? A religion of people that don't have leadership? A religion of people that don't have answers? That do not have solutions? But they always, all they have is they have a devotion to rituals. They say, just do like we're doing. Don't worry. Just do like we're doing. Don't worry. No, the world does not operate that way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
وَأَحْسِنُوا إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ.
So do good. Show the good example. Allah loves those who show the good, the perfect, the better, the more preferred example.
It's our responsibility. If there's a problem, Muslims are supposed to come up with the solution. If there's a question, the Muslims are supposed to come up with the answer. And our solution and our answer, it is not abstract.
No, anyone should be able to see it like the sun is in the sky. Anyone should be able to feel it like the rain from the sky. Anyone should be able to understand it just like the air that we breathe. Because Islam is easy and sweet. The Prophet ﷺ said, فَيَسْفِرُوا وَلَا تُعَفِرُوا.
Make things easy on the people and not difficult for them. O Muslims, our challenge is to contribute and support Islamic revival and Islamic da'wah. This effort calls for guidance and enthusiasm. Our leaders must go back and ask themselves, am I providing my people 5 or 5,000? Am I providing them with guidance? Secondly, do I have the energy in myself to give them enthusiasm, to make them feel like getting up, moving out, bringing something back, establishing something? Do I make them feel like leaving their homes 4 o'clock in the morning and coming here and pray at 5 o'clock, only 2 raka'ah? Do I make them feel like that by my example? I should ask myself. If not, I should dismiss myself from leadership and I should look for somebody else who can give the people the guidance and the enthusiasm. This is the sign of a good leader. It's a good sign of a good follower. That if he cannot do this, he should select somebody else to do that, and then he should stand by that person. And that's his example. O Muslims, this effort calls for guidance and enthusiasm. This is not the time. Muslims are living today in very critical and dangerous times. This is not the time for indecision. This is not the time for confusion. This is not the time for lack of energy. This is not the time for Muslims to be arguing among themselves. Confusion and lack of energy can never lead to revival and respect. Our challenge is to establish the Islamic da'wah through sacrifice of our time, through sacrifice of our energy, through sacrifice of our wealth. Da'wah is a vehicle. Da'wah is a vehicle which requires construction. You don't construct the vehicle, but you think you're riding it. You must construct it. The vehicle does not come out of the sky. It requires, it's a vehicle. We must get on it and ride it and use it. Da'wah is a vehicle. Number two, that vehicle requires maintenance. If any one of you has a car, you must check the tires. You must check the engine. You must check the oil. You must check to see if you have petrol. You must check the transmission. You must see every now and then that it is safe. Check the brakes. Why you did you put your family in danger if you don't do that? How you put the Jama'ah into danger? How you put the Ummah into danger? No, Dawah requires construction and Dawah requires maintenance. And also, Dawah requires after that, mobilization. We have to get up, move. Dawah is moving. No one wants to drink from water which is still because it will start to smell. You want the sweet water because the sweet water is always running. Then you know it's fresh. Dawah must be moving. It must be fresh. It must be sweet. The people who hear it must love it. They must be attracted. And those who don't love it, they must move away from it. They must have the respect for it. This is our Dawah. O Muslims, we must support and participate in the platform of Dawah and the people of Dawah. We must assign a percentage of our resources as a sign of our sacrifice. Whoever is your imam in this place, whoever is your wakil in this place, whoever is your amir in this place, whoever is your president in this place, I say all of us should give to him 5% of our wealth. We're not talking about zakat here. Zakat is something else. You cannot build a bridge with zakat. You cannot build a hospital with zakat. You cannot build a school with zakat. No, 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 no. Zakat is not for that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already told us what zakat is for and who it is for. It is not for that. If you want to build a house, if you want to build a masjid, if you want to build a hospital, if you want to build a school, if you want to build an institution, then you have to pay something more. Because we don't have any Baytul Mal. We don't have any Islamic government. So who it comes from? You and me. So I say whoever is the imam, who is the amir, or the president, or the chairman, let all of us say, Wallahi, I will give him 5% of my wealth. I pledge Uqsim Billah. If you don't want to do that, don't fool yourself. You are like the froth on the sea the Prophet ﷺ spoke about. We are nothing people, because the people who will not sacrifice what they believe in, they are nothing. Nobody will ever respect us, Muslims. Dawah requires this kind of support, because Dawah leads to self-revival. You will reform yourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says,
قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا كَذَّبَتْ ثَمُودُ بِطَغْوَاهَا إِذِ انْبَعَثَ أَشْقَاهَا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you, Dawah is a source of reform. When we spread the Dawah and reform ourselves, then Allah will send to the people respect, dignity, ilm. The ilm of the Muslims will come back to us. We will be known to be a different people. They will respect our leaders. They will respect our people. They will respect our women. They will respect our places. They will respect our countries. Because we respect ourselves, and we respect this deen, and we respect Allah, and we respect this message of Allah to us. O Muslims, we should give a portion of our resources as a sign of our sacrifice to this platform and this people. This revival and dialogue is a responsibility and our accountability. And we will be asked about this matter on the day about which there is no doubt. O Muslim, the leaders of the Muslims will not be able to offer any excuses or hide from this responsibility on the day of judgment. And the followers of those leaders, you and I, will not be able to blame anyone except ourselves, and we will not escape the accountability on that day. وَقُلْ قَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على المصطفى صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه وأزواجه من ولا يرضى.
إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما.
اللهم صل على سيدنا نبينا وحبيبنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن ولا وبعد. ومسلمس the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, the most stingy of people that mention me are those who mention me and they don't say صلى الله عليه وسلم. The most stingy of those that mention me from my followers are those that when they mention me, they don't offer no salah. So whenever you hear Muhammad, Rasulullah, Nabi Allah, whenever you hear that, the message of Allah, when you hear that, you say, you should tell your children to say, and your wives to say, and teach the unbelievers even to say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And do not be ashamed about that matter. That's the respect which is owed to him. Allah
subhanahu wa ta'ala azza wa jal, his malaika, he ordered them also to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
And he said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever says sallallahu upon me one time, Allah will return it back to him 10 times. Whoever says sallallahu upon me 10 times, Allah will return it back to him 100 times. Whoever says sallallahu upon me 100 times, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send it back to them 1,000 times. How easy it is for us to say, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim fil alamin innaka Hamidum Majid.
O Muslims, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in all conditions. When you are asked how you feel, say Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. Don't complain. Don't frown. Don't blame. Just say Alhamdulillah ala kulli hal. And when you find some difficulty in front of you, don't complain. Don't seek some way out. Don't compromise. Say,
Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim.
As when Ali radiallahu anhu, he saw Fatima radiallahu anha doing her housework, and she had blisters on her hands from washing the clothes and doing the housework. And many people in Medina at that time, they had servants, they had slaves. So Ali radiallahu anhu, he said, oh Fatima, go and ask your father to give you one of the servants. He will give to you. He loves you. And she went to him. Oh Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ali, he said to me and asked me, can you give to us a slave or a servant to help us inside the house? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he looked to his daughter and he looked to her hands and he looked down and he decided for a moment and he said, oh Fatima, can I tell you something which is better for you than what you're asking me for? Is better than a servant? Say Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, Subhanallah al-Azim. Oh Muslims, don't complain. Don't react. Don't be extreme. Don't be fanatic. Don't be angry. Don't blame other people. Say, as the Prophet Yunus alayhi salam said, when he was thrown in the water by those people and he was swallowed by the whale, he did not complain. He said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala,
La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minal zalimin.
He blamed himself. Blame yourself, Muslims. The condition which we're in, the condition that we are in, is because of our own behavior. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to wake us up. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put love in our hearts and respect in our hearts for each other.
We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cause us to appreciate and to love and to respect the leaders of the Muslims and this great responsibility which they are carrying in this world
and the one they want to carry in the next. Oh Muslims, thank Allah for the freedom and liberty which you have, because one day you may not have it, as other Muslims in the world, they are suffering this right now. Oh Muslims, be thankful for the food that you are overeating, and be thankful for the clothing which you are overdressing, and be thankful for all the other ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which you are exploiting. Oh Muslims, be grateful
and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness.
As the Prophet, he said, he sought forgiveness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 100 times a day. And one companion of the Prophet said, Ya Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven you all of your mistakes. He did not have any sins, but all of your mistakes, past and present and future. Why are you saying so many times, Astaghfirullah? He said, should I be ungrateful to my Lord? So if Rasulullah sallallahu said, Astaghfirullah, Rabbi man kulli dhanbin wa atubu ilayk, 100 times a day, how many times Abdullah, Amatullah, how many times you and I should say, maybe at least 1,000 Muslims. Fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ibadullah.
Rabbana atina fi dunya hasanatan wa fi al-akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhaban nar.
Rabbana atina min ladunka rahmatan wa hayyibna min amrina rashada. ربنا إننا آمنا فاغفر لنا ذنوبنا وقنا عذاب النار. ربنا آمنا فاغفر لنا وارحمنا وأنت خير الراحمين. لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إني كنت من الظالمين. يا الله غفور رحيم برحمتك يا رب العالمين. عباد الله، إن الله يعمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. وذكر الله تعالى وأعلى وأولى وأعز وأجل وأتم وأحمد وأكبر وأقم الصلاة.
We have one question. Inshallah, if you could make it fairly brief. I'm running out of tape. You mentioned in your khutbah that we should give 5% of our money to the imam leader. Just to clarify that,
This is a suggestion from what we should give from ourselves. It could be 5%, it could be 10%, it could be 1%, it could be something. But I believe that it is a responsibility of all Muslims to look to see what he has and give a portion of what he has to the leader of the Muslims, whom he respects, so that there is something there to represent us regarding the responsibility that we have in the field of da'wah and teaching and preaching Islam.
This isn't the case if he's not working and we have to support
him.
No,
if you don't have money to give, you can give something else. No. Everyone has either time or money to give. So if you can just correlate it the same way. If you can give 5% of your time or you can give 1% of your time, it's the same as somebody who gives 5% or 1% of his money. Every Muslim has something to give, and nobody will be able to answer Allah on the Day of Judgment, "I have nothing to give." Everyone has either time or money or both to give. My suggestion is we look to see what we have and we give it. Allah will tell the Muslims, inshallah, they should be mindful of their obligations. And I don't think I should say anything more.
Jazakallah khair, akhi. Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Malik yawm al-deen. Iyaka na'budu wa iyaka nasta'in. Ihdina sirata al-mustaqim. Sirata al-ladhina an'amta alayhim. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
آمين.
والشمس وضحاها والقمر إذا طلاها والنهار إذا جلاها والليل إذا يغشاها والسماء وما بناها والأرض وما طحاها ونفس وما سواها فألهمها فجورها وتقواها قد أفلح من زكاها وقد خاب من دساها كذبت ثمود بتقواها إذ انبعث أشقاها فقال لهم رسول الله ناقة الله وسقياها فكذبوه فأكلوها فدمدم عليهم ربهم بذنبهم فسواها ولا يخاف عقباها والتين والزيتون وطور سينين وهذا البلد الأمين لقد خلقنا الإنسان في أحسن تقويم ثم رددناه أسفل سافلين إلا الذين آمنوا الصالحات فلهم أجر غير ممنون فما يكذبك بعد بالدين أليس الله بأحكم الحاكمين.